taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We're coming to the end of this lovely epistle that we learned through it a lot of blessing as we went through all the book, the blessing that's given to us. And he's coming to the end here and saying, finally, it's not like the end, but as a result of this, finally here is not meaning this is the end. No, as a result of what we learn, or from now on, finally, my brethren. This section, as you know, the focus in it may be two or three subjects. One, he's telling us about our enemy. And it's good to know your enemy, as we know. Know your enemy. Before you go to a war, know your enemy. How strong or how weak. And don't decrease the level of your enemy. Know the strengths. Maybe actually look that maybe he's strong. So we have to be careful and well prepared. The second part, the armor of God, or the complete armor of God. The six pieces that's mentioned here, plus, meaning prayer. And we'll go through that. And he's also talking a little bit about himself. Paul is telling the Christians or the believers in Ephesus about him and his need. And we will be amazed that he's not focusing about, you know, he's at that time was in the prison. He's a prisoner. And he's not asking them, pray for me that I get off the prison. That wasn't his focus here, but it was different. And the final greetings in the end, and or the vindication that we see it in the last section here. So he's mentioning, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So after all the blessing and all what we have in Christ, the position that we have, we are in Christ, we are blessed in Him, we are the church of Him, He is our head. So he's saying, be strong in the Lord. It's not be strong in yourself. Just he's taking the focus, be strong in the Lord. The psalmist in the old time saying, I will lift up mine eyes and to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. So that's the focus, from the Lord. So the hills or the mountain is a strong part from the creation, but it's not my help from them. So be strong, and our strengths come from the Lord, not from me, not from my reading, not from my ability, not from my intelligence, not how much I know, but from the Lord. The strong come from the Lord, and is the power of His might. Paul in Ephesians, he wrote a lot of time about the power and the might. So now it's an expression known to them. In chapter 1 mentions the greatness of His power and His might, His mighty power. So the power of God that we knew, now we can experience it. So we saw the power of Christ. We have that mighty power. And then we can experience this. In verse 11, he comes now telling them about the enemy. And he starts in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. And actually after that he takes in verse, I think 13 or so, that to take the armor of God. So in a sense, you think about the armor of God, is that a privilege or a responsibility? Put on or take the armor of God. I think it is both, probably. The armor of God is not something, it's something given to us already. But it is, in the same sense, we have to be aware of it. So I have to put it on. In a sense, I have to be aware that I do have the helmet of salvation, or the breastplate, or the sword of the Spirit, and we go through this part. But he's encouraging, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, is the putting the armor of God is something I have to do it one time or in occasion situation? That's not the case. Here's the Christians, the believers, we are in a war. And that war, it is continuous war. It did start since the day of salvation and until the day of the Lord will come. And he named that in the evil day. So the evil day that we live in it right now, that's the day since Christ left the world until now. It's called the evil day. Why? Because the enemy, Satan, God allowed him to be in control now. God, overall, he is in the control of everything. But he let him in the world to be the one that controlling the people are in sin. So the evil day that we live in it right now, we need to be always ready and prepared. For Christians, there is no day that you can say, well, today is, there is no wrestle. No. And some they think Paul took the idea of the armor of God because he was a prisoner. And every day in the prison, there is a soldier standing by him, wearing that armor. So as he looking to see this, he was thinking, that's what I need to be as a Christian. How can I be wearing this armor of God, and how can I apply it to my life? Verse 12 is saying, for we wrestle. Is that word take you? It's not right now. And we think about war in our days. We think about electronic and unmanned plane. But he's telling us about wrestle. Something physical, something close. Something really need you to be strong. So if there's a wrestling, obviously I will not be standing to wrestle anybody. But that spiritual strength, the wrestling, is something. Tell us how strong is our enemy and how close to us. So you might think, oh, it's far away from me, maybe in the media and entertainment and others. But in fact, the wrestling comes here, in our mind. You might be very sitting quiet, nobody knows what I'm thinking about. But what I am sitting wrestling with my own self. So the wrestling mind. So our war, in verse 12, he's saying, we wrestle, not against flesh and blood, only blood and flesh, a better translation, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These terms just kind of above our head maybe think, principalities, powers, authority, who are those? These are used to be angelic beings God created, but they fall. Satan, one of these principalities and power. There are principalities and powers in the world, which president, rulers, but there are God put. But he's talking here about those principalities and power, they fall from God. And they are spiritual wickedness. So they are wicked. They wanted to change the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual field that we live in. And they call ruler of the darkness of this world. When you find that word darkness, take your mind right away. That not related to God. Everything God done in light, connected to light, because He is light and His characters. But those rulers of the darkness, they do things away from God, hidden from God. If you recall, I mean, just an example. If you recall in the day of Daniel, Daniel was praying for his nation in chapter, I think, 8, 9, the area, about the nation of Israel that was in Babylon, and he doesn't know what's going to happen, and they're captive, and what's going to happen in the future. And God answered his prayer, and he told him about the 70 weeks in the book of Daniel. But during that, God sent to him an angel, Michael, and he told him, your prayer was heard long time ago, but I had a resistance with the prince of Persia. Who is that prince of Persia? That's an angelic being, not an angel, but a satanic, in another word, in control of that piece of Persia, and he stood against Michael to let him not come close to Daniel, to let him understand the way of God towards the nation of Israel. So that tells us there is strong power around us, that not to fear, but to know, for the knowledge that we should have the armor of God. So it's not something to make an afraid. Another example, if you look at the story of Ahab, King Ahab, when he was trying to go to fight, and at that time he wanted to bring another king of Judah with him that time. And we saw that at heaven, it tells us a little bit about what happened. That the bad spirit wants to say, who can go and put a false spirit in the prophets of King Ahab? So that tells us there is another world, we are not aware of it. And that world, what he's talking about here. Now, we have to remember that when Christ went to the cross, he had the victory over all the principality of powers. And as we are connected with him, we do have the victory. So the victory is ours. That doesn't mean it's going to be passive, but it is a war, a wrestle. And we have to be aware that they wanted to get us to fall and to be away from God. Now, the person is not giving his heart to God and not living according to the word of God might not feel that, because I'm already doing what Satan wants me to do. But as you live more for God and you wanted to have a pure mind and living according to the word of God, that wrestle will increase. So increasing the wrestle for the one who wanted to live more for God, you feel that, but the victory is ours. That's why he's staying here, encouraging us to put the armor of God. The six pieces, he said again, take the whole armor. So you have to remember, that armor is not like take some and leave. It's a whole piece. It's the uniform of the soldier in the Roman time, how can to go to the war. That you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore having your loins girt with the truth. Now, so the girt that it's used here, or another word, a belt you wear. So that's something actually which will hold everything. So when you look to the armor, first thing the belt or the girt, that's hold the clothes. If you don't put it on, your clothes is down, you're not able to walk. Now, he's telling us what it is. The girth which is about with truth. So that's truth. Also the girth tells us about what? The deep thinking, the inner thought that the person has. That's something I don't see. So my inner thought, my thinking and my intimate thoughts, that which God knows, God wanted to be moved or motivated with the truth, which is the word of God. So in other words, what should control my motives and what should control my inner thoughts and my intimate thought is the truth. And that's the key here. Actually, he put that first because that's the key of the whole armor. In fact, the belt would hold everything. They put the sword, they put the rest of the clothes connected to that belt. So if the truth or the word of God is holding me, then all our action is going to be according to that. You can argue and say, does the truth hold me or I hold the truth? Both ways. The truth of God is holding me, but I also ask here to put that. I should hold in the truth. Paul tell Timothy, hold in the word. So we should hold in it. It holds us and we hold in it both ways. So that's the inner motives of our life. Putting the your loin girt with the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that's the second part. Somebody says, as we know, the breastplate is something protect the heart and the chest. These are the vital organs in the body. When you go into war, your heart, your lung, your brain, this is the thing that you want really to protect. So breastplate of righteousness. Well, some say, well, we are righteous in Christ. He's not talking about the positional righteousness, that we are justified, we are righteous in Christ. But there is righteousness happening. My conscience, my relation, what can blame my heart? Your heart sometimes gets blamed if you do mistake, if you get short on something, if you bother your brother, if you do something not godly. Then your conscience is blaming you, and you cannot stand in relation with God. In fact, it's connected. The truth, if I am sitting in the presence of God and the word of God is open, my heart gets blamed of something I did and I confess what I did, and then I don't have that blame. My conscience will be clear. So that changed my... Then I have the breastplate of righteousness. That protects, so I will not get the blame. I will not get the arrows. I will not get the thought of Satan toward my mind to tell me, he can't stand in the presence of God. You did that mistake. You are short in this. You did that. No. I'm righteous in front of God. In front of him and Christ, I'm complete. I'm perfect. But in a practical life, God wants us to hold the truth, and then we have the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is a little bit difficult verse to know exactly what he's talking about, but maybe two different thoughts. One, for the armor of God, the feet, wearing the specific shoes, actually, they were. I read about the Roman shoes, how they used it. It was so strong, and it has a lot of like metal part to give strength and power to the soldier that he can go through lots of obstacles. So thinking this way, that what makes my walk right? The gospel of peace. The word of God again. That we were saved and we know the gospel. So that's what should drive my action. So I don't have the blame. I have the word of God. But thirdly, my walk. As a result of this practical righteousness, when I walk in the world, what am I doing? What express our life, what we do, where we go, where we act. Another thought, it could be using carrying the gospel of peace, carrying the gospel to other. It's a way you can think about it. It might be a protection. When I preach the gospel or use it to somebody, it is held me in my heart that I should live righteously. I should live pure. I am witnessing to other. How can I will be a blame inside myself? So you can think this two ways here. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the shield, it was something strong actually. It will probably like a circle covering the soldier, and it's double portion, and it's covered with metal. So he was able to, as he's protected with it. If you see it in picture, the shield. So that's the thing here is talking about, the shield of faith. So we can say, well, I believed in Christ, so what's faith here? It's another way also. The faith that you have, or I have in Christ, It's a protection if you think about it. When you're exposed to something in the world and you think, I shouldn't do that. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. That's why I don't go to this place. I don't watch this. I don't do this. The faith. Thinking about the faith. You think about it. Also the practical faith in daily life. Like faith in Christ. Faith in God that He will preserve me. Faith in God that He will take me through this. So able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. So you see the wicked here, he's tending fiery darts as something to hit the Christian. So it just wanted to get you down. But how can I protect? Using the shield, using the faith. I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do that. I trust in God, so that will protect me from doing this. And take the helmet of salvation. Now coming to the head. Helmet of salvation. My thoughts, my mind, is protected because I am saved. Thinking about my salvation, I shouldn't be wondering, am I saved? I'm not saved. There is things can happen to me. Am I going to perish? Others can happen. So God wanted our mind to be controlled, that we are saved and we are secure to heaven. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, the five parts we talked about, it, all of them, they were more defensive to protect you. But here the piece which is offensive, the sword. You don't use the sword to defense, but to offense. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So again, he's coming to the Word of God. Remember the Lord Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. When Satan attacked him, he used the same thing, the sword of the Spirit. Now, if you think about those pieces, there is one part of the body was not protected, in a sense, which is the back. He didn't say wear something to the back. And why that? Because we're not supposed to give our back. You're not supposed to turn around. You're supposed to go forward. So there is fight, but I'm not going to go back. There's an enemy in front of me. So God wants us to keep going forward. Then he moved to the second part for the time. Praying always. So prayer, you could think at it, I said it is six pieces plus. The plus is the prayer. Always the prayer is the key. We should be praying not for the time when the evil day comes. In fact, that armor of God, I should be wearing that at all time. So when the enemy comes, I'm already ready. Yes, there are bad days, good days, we all know. But I'm ready all days. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. So the Spirit which control the Word of God to come to me and to be used, and also control my prayer and watching. So we use the language here, watching. The soldier should be always watching, thereunto all preservation and supplication for all saints. So Paul, he's in the present. He might be one like us, will be thinking about myself. How is my situation? How am I suffering? How it's cold? How is there no food, no clothes? But he's praying for all saints. And his concern that God give him utterance. That when he starts speaking the gospel, he wants God to give him word that he can reach others. And notice he's talking about himself as an ambassador in bonds. Which is very unusual. You will not find an ambassador to a country in bonds. Actually, the ambassador has the immunity that he shouldn't be jailed or in bond. But that's Paul. He is the ambassador of Christ in bond. Therein, I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. So his concern more is just to speak the word of God boldly. Verse 21 to the end, he's trying to get to the end of his writing. And he is concern about the Ephesians believer. We know that he spent about 3 years in Ephesus. So those 3 years, he left a lot of effect, not of connection with them. But you should know my affairs. He is concerned about their feeling. Imagine he is in the prison and he is kind of all difficult, but he's concerned about the feeling of the believers. They want them to know his affairs and know how I do. So he sent a man by name Tychicus, which was mentioned about five times. In fact, there's two verses, verse 22 and 21, they are the same thing mentioned in Colossians chapter 4. So it tells us likely the same man, Tychicus, he's the one he carried. the writing of Paul to Ephesus and to Colossians, the same person. He's carrying both. And he's one that Paul actually mentioned him to replace Titus. He used him to take some money to help the believer in Jerusalem. So he's a man, has a good character if you think about him, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. So he carries this double title, a beloved brother. Good to think about each other as a beloved brother. Faithful minister. So meaning a beloved doesn't mean he is not faithful. He's beloved, but he's faithful. He's following the truth. He's faithful to the ministry of the Lord. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that I might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your heart. Again, he's thinking about comforting their heart. Then he ends up in verse 23 and 4 with the common salutation of Paul. Peace, grace. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God. The peace, the love that we have in Christ. Last verse is saying, grace be with all of them. He started with the grace. If we look to chapter 1, the beginning, he started in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He ending the same thing. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So he's ending with the same grace that will hold us. It's not the grace only that saved us. The same grace that we live in it. God wants us to live in that grace. And remember that word used in the end. Love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So he's focusing that our heart has to have that delight and love the Lord. Loving the Lord, that's what even in the Old Testament, you love the Lord your God from all your heart. So this again, if I love the Lord, all of these things happen just without struggling. Loving the Lord with all sincerity. So we see this brother or this sister is sincere. Sincerity meaning wholehearted to God. So that's what he wants. Grace. That's grace that holds us. But you got to have that love and sincerity. So the armor of God is given to us. I think it is a privilege. It's given to us. But we should put it on. We should take it. We should know our enemy, how strong he is, and how much effect can the enemy affect in our mind. We live in the world right now is the enemy wanted to hit our thinking. Use the tools that in the past was maybe you have to go to find the enemy. Now the enemy comes to your home, comes to your mind, comes to your computer, comes very close to us, comes to a school, to college, the educator, the environment. It is all around us. Again, not to be fearful, but to be aware and to be alert, to watch and to gird ourselves with the truth and to use the sword of the truth. To me, it is all focused about His Word, the Word of God and holding the truth. God preserve us all and help us to be in that grace. Let's pray.